Okay, so let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your grace this evening, and thank you for your love. Thank you for everyone that's gathered in here. And we're grateful for what you're doing mightily in our midst. Lord, as we delve into studying and understanding, you know, the accounts of Ruth, we ask for wisdom, clarity, understanding. And more importantly, that this word directs, strengthens, you know, our convictions in following you and following your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so you're all welcome once again. And this evening, I'm going to be taking some time to via the leading of the Spirit, lay some emphasis on something that God's been dealing with me. You know, there are various ways of studying the Bible. You know, there is an expository way of studying the Bible. You know, there are also types or different kinds of paying attention to what the Word of God says. But today, we're going to look at a kind of a Bible study, if I'll call it, where, you know, there is not so much depth on, you know, verse by verse study. However, we glean on the lessons of the book. It's one of the ways of, you know, studying the Bible. It's just looking up for moral lessons. There's no revelation behind it. There is not, so much depth. You know, you just read the surface of what is written, and then there are moral lessons, if I'll call them. And these are very impactful forms of, you know, Bible study. And so, using this kind of a study, we're just going to just delve on into the book of Ruth. And that's why, you know, today's session is titled, you know, A Few Notes from the Story of Ruth, or from the book of Ruth. And so, Ruth is quite a small portion of the entire Old Testament. It's called a cameo. So C-A-M-E-O. Now, a cameo is almost like a small but noticeable part of a movie, of a film, of an event, or of a happening. Right? So we can call Ruth a cameo, right, of a story of love, of a story of devotion, of a story of redemption, set in the dark context of the days of Judges. We could take some time looking at Ruth interpreted in the light of what Jesus Christ came to do. But that's not what exactly we're going to be doing this evening. We're going to be taking out some very key moral lessons from the story of Ruth. Now, I'm just going to give you a summary, and then we'll go by a quick verse-by-verse study, like a quick verse-by-verse reading into Ruth. I'm hoping we shall be able to complete chapter 4, but it doesn't look like we'll be able to get to chapter 4. So we could just have chapter 1 and 2. And then, like I said, it's a few notes, right? So, hopefully our next one will be a couple of notes or some more notes from the story of Ruth. But this evening, we're going to be looking at a few notes from the story of Ruth. So, it's the story of a Moabite woman, you know, who forsakes her pagan heritage You know, it's a story of a Moabite woman who forsakes her pagan heritage, you know, in order to cling to the people of Israel and to the God of Israel. You know, so she forsakes all, you know, things concerning the pagan religion, and then she chooses to stick to the people of Israel and to the God of Israel. Now, because of her faithfulness in, you know, the time of, will I say that there was a time of national faithlessness, because Ruth actually is a continuation of, you know, the period of Judges. It actually begins in the closing days of Judges. So Judges is just the book before Ruth. So it begins in the closing days of the Judges. It was almost like a 400-year period of general, you know, oppression, where the Israelites were not ruled by kings. And it was also said that in this time, you know, there were sort of like a lot of sodomy and a lot of sexual perversions. You know, people were known for sexual perversions. So there was, you know, more or less like a moral fall in this time. Imagine. No wonder Samson is told, hey, don't go for any woman in this tribe. And he says, no, that's what I love. I've seen a lady, she's called Delilah. And she's the one I'm going to go in for. You're a Nazarene. Don't cut your hair. Abstain from hard drinks or wine. You know, is one I want. I want to enjoy myself. So there were quite a lot of things, you know, because Manoah had told him, we had a vision about you. There was an angel that spoke to us about your birth. And he still chooses to. So the land was actually surrounded by a lot of, you know, morally, you know, what I call them, moral fallouts. They had falling out morally, and there was a lot of sexual perversion in the lands. And so everybody in the days when the judges were ruled, they were actually dark days of Israel. It was characterized by everyone doing what was right in their own eyes. Everybody was just saying, okay, we want to, man, I think I look at you. I have feelings for you. Okay, let's get married. Right? Yeah. Let's get married. Right? Woman, I think I have feelings for you. Let's get married. So there's nothing that's new. You know, there's nothing new under the sun, actually. And people say, gay. It's not new. You're just getting to realize it, but it's not new. LGBTQQS2YZ2W2, it's not new. It's been always there. Right? So people decided they were going to do what they want. Now, if you have something like this, that's why we're here. Right? And through the continuous teaching of God's word, there's going to be that, you know, redemption. Right? But it's wrong. Okay? So, sodomy was prevalent. There was anal sex, oral sex. All of these kinds of perversions in the land. So this was where Ruth found herself together with Naomi, who happened to be, sort of like a mother-in-law, and then Elimelech, who happened to be Naomi's husband, and then, Ruth and Orpah happened to be married to Chilion and then Mahlon. So we're going to look at an interesting story, and this story is going to bless you. All right, so we're starting right from chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Right? So judges ruled, I told you, that's why I gave you a background story. There was a lot of perversions and there was a lot of confusions. Right? So it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, and there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech. Now Elimelech, actually I'll be giving you the meaning of the names, because the names portrayed a lot in the Old Testament. Even today it's almost like they try to do that, but it's not as prevalent as, that time. So Elimelech actually was to mean God is king. That was the meaning of Elimelech, right? And then who again are we talking about? Naomi, meant pleasantness. So, Naomi was meant pleasant, right? Ruth also had a meaning friendship or loyalty, right? Chilion meant pining or sickly. The same as Mahlon, also sickly. I'm sorry, no wonder they died early. But the two of them actually did not look very well when they were born. So they named them, and then they said they looked sickly. It's just like Esau, which when he came out, he looked hairy. So they named him Harry, means Esau, was named Harry. And then Jacob, when he was coming out of his mother's womb, he reached out and touched his brother's heel. And they said he's a heel toucher or he's a heel catcher. So we're going to call him Jacob. So in the Old Testament, names meant a lot. Right? Yeah. If they were giving birth to you and then you came out, instead of you should be smiling and you were frowning, they called you frowner. And funny enough, it had a way of affecting your whole life. Your whole life, your countenance will be down. Every time we see you, you are angry. Like, why are you angry, frowner? So, that was just by the way. So, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. Verse 2, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab, and they continue there. So there's a famine in the land. And then they went to sojourn. They moved to the country of Moab and they continued there. Now, Bethlehem Judah had a lot of Israelites. So Israelites were more of the people in Bethlehem Judah, right? So verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, suddenly died. Wow. Suddenly died. And she was left and had two sons. So she was left with Mahlon and Chilion. And they took them wives of the woman of Moab. Now, they were already, number one, disobedient. Because they are leaving the lands where Israelites are prominent, even though in that land of Israel also there was famine in that time, to a land that was in the country of Moab. Now, God also did not want, you know, them taking wives among the Moabite women, which happened to me, you know. So again, God had spoken to the Israelites not to marry among the pagan nations, but unfortunately they did. Elimelech did. Mahlon and Chilion also did. Mahlon and Chilion, you know, married from pagan nations. So as time went on, you know, in about 10 years, in verse 5, Mahlon and Chilion also died. And the woman was left of her two sons. The woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So Elimelech was gone, Mahlon was gone, Chilion was gone. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. You see, the country of Moab was first that land God will not want the people of Israel to be related with. But because there is a certain kind of a condition in Israel, Israel is facing a certain kind of a famine, a certain kind of a hardship. There is a transitioning from the land of Israel, Bethlehem, Judah, into the land of the Moabites, where it is supposed that there could be enough food, enough drink, enough water, enough feed for us. Because in Bethlehem, Judah, there seems to be also like a famine. Isn't that similar to the story of Lot and Abraham? Quite similar. You see, in the following of God's plan for our lives, we must be careful of what we choose just because we want comfort and a very relaxed life. So they move into Bethlehem, Judah. They move from Bethlehem, Judah. They move into the land of the Moabites. And they already lose everything. You see, in our pursuits with God, don't be moved by what seems to be working, or what seems to be fine, or what seems to be pleasant, or what seems to be good. It might be good on the outside, but there are a lot of losses that come with walking out of God's plan, with disobeying what He wants you to do. It might look as though it's very good, but it's actually not. So you see, Elimelech has moved out. He loses himself, he loses others. Now, he's left his wife, and his wife is saying that, you know, I'm very sad. This land has not treated me well. Has not treated me well. Yeah, there was famine in Bethlehem, Judah, but I think we shouldn't have moved from Bethlehem, Judah to Moab or to the country of Moab. I think, you know, in that place called Bethlehem, Judah, we had God with us. We don't even know what we're doing in this land. So in verse 6, she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. From the country of Moab. Now listen. She had returned from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So she was returning back from wherever she thought she had left. You know, in this world, as believers, we must be careful what we choose when times are difficult or when times are tough. The same land they were trying to run away from is the same land they are running to, because the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Oh, so in verse 7, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Now, the land of Judah will signify a few things which will become clearer to us as we go. It will signify God. It will signify his service or service to him. It will signify serving him. It will signify taking your prayer life seriously, taking your word study life seriously. It will signify moving from places of comfort to find yourself in places where you can serve God with your life. So she went forth out of the place where she was, and had two daughters-in-law with her, and they went into the land to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, this is where I want you to see that will eventually help you to make good choices. Because God's not going to be forcing it on you that you need to move back to the land of Judah. You need to go back right now, go back. No, there's going to be a choice before you. Now you choose the choice. You make a choice. You decide whether you're going to see that land and follow after it. So, and Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with me, with the dead, and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest. She prayed that they would remarry. Now, you will almost find Naomi's heart in what she communicates. Just follow me closely. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest. Now, that rest was meaning that my sons, who happen to be Mahlon and Chilion, are dead now. They are dead. You know, in the further verses, she said, even if I had a son today, you will not be able to marry them. Because by the time they grow up as sons, you're already old. And probably you're dead. Even if I had one today, there was no way possible that you were going to be the right person to marry them. So, the Lord grant you rest. The Lord grant you a home. The Lord grant you a car. Oh, serving God is difficult. Following me is difficult. But the Lord grant you money. The Lord grant you money. The Lord grant you the thing that causes you to feel like now I have rested. That was rest. So she's literally blessing them. And she's doing this from her heart. Verse 9. The Lord grant you that you may find rest. Each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them. And they lifted up their voice and they went. Oh, we are leaving. Is that not how some people do when they step out of God's plan?
Oh, we don't really want to choose this. We don't we want to serve God, but we really wish we could have stayed taking God seriously. Pastor, we wish, but it will not happen. Circumstances of life, right?
So Naomi is blessing. It's blessing. Both of them, they lifted up their voices. Naomi's blessing. Find refreshment in life. A genuine blessing. And then they're both crying. Now verse 10. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. So you see, they both said it. They both said it. They both said it from the beginning. If you never paid attention to the story, you think it was just Ruth saying it. No, they both said it. Naomi and Ruth both said, we die here. We are going to stay. We are going to follow God. We are going to serve God forever. It's the Lord. It's our hearts for Him. It's following Him. It's truly desiring to serve Him. Nothing will take us away. They both said it from the beginning. They both said it. Oh. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb? That they may be your husbands. Now the husbands, friends, jobs will signify the rest, the refreshment in life, the things that look naturally good without God in the midst, without ministry in the midst. So he's saying that even if you stay, there's nothing for you. There is nothing like rest for you. Nothing like rest. And truly, there was nothing like rest, my people. There was nothing. Where are you going to go to? I don't have sons. My husband is dead. There's nobody else to follow you. There's nobody else to love you. Please, go back. Verse 12. Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope. If I should have an husband also tonight. And I should bear sons. Would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters. It grieved me much for your sakes. That the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Oh, the hand of the Lord has gone against me. You know, many times we always try to blame God. And in the Old Testament, anything that happened in that period was ascribed to God. But it clearly wasn't God now. You know, it's just like Jesus, you know, getting to hear that Lazarus was dead. You know. And Mary and Martha, upon seeing him, start to say, "Look at you, if you were here, your good friend wouldn't have gone." Right? So they were blaming him for Lazarus' death. Right? Now, listen to the story, actually. Now, that's not really our emphasis, but I want to say something. It takes 2 days for them to have gotten to Bethany. 2 days. So, if I was sending someone off to transmit a message to where Jesus was, it was going to take him 2 days. Right? Now, we send the person. It's taking the person 2 days. Now, it takes 2 days also to come back from wherever the person was to see Lazarus, who was sick. Now, Jesus also delayed another 2 days. Right? So, it's like, we sent somebody already. The guy is sick. He's gone. 2 days is gone. You take 2 days. Now, it takes 2 days to actually come back from where you are. So, we are doing 6 days. Oh, the guy is gone. The guy is in the tomb. He's been wrapped. He's been buried. Right? So, Mary and Martha, upon seeing Jesus, just turn out the blame. They slap it on him. "You are the reason why our brother was dead. If you had been here early." No. 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 How about Mary and Martha learning so much that you were going to be good disciples enough to pray for the sick and to heal them, and rather not blaming Jesus for healing? Now, that's just by the way. So, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, because Naomi was saying that the hand of the Lord had gone against her. They lifted up their voice, they wept, and listen to what happened. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. Now, I'll take time to maybe, in one of our teachings, explain to you actions and what they meant in older traditions. It means she had agreed. Yeah. Sort of like, "I love you, but I've still let you go." Like Judas kissing Jesus. Like, "I love you, but I still have betrayed you." Yeah. Is a kiss of separation. Like, "I love you, but this thing don't work." So they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But listen to what Ruth did. Ruth clave unto her. Ruth clave unto her. So Ruth is cleaving unto God's plan, irrespective of the fact that she's distressed. She's not going to know what is going to happen in Bethlehem, Judah. She's confused. She's actually going back empty-handed with nothing. She's going back with nothing. Perhaps at least she had Mahlon or Chilion. But now she has nothing. She has a poor widow who stays with her. Now, I'm going to show you the motive for cleaving onto God's plan. There was a motive for cleaving onto God's plan. It wasn't just, you know, just normal. There was a motive to cleaving onto God's plan. Now, verse 15, "And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people." Listen, unto her people and unto her gods. Drop that scripture. You see that the gods are, you know, small g. It means that Orpah had made up her mind that, "I know that there is God. We've heard of the God of the Israelites. We've heard of the God that's powerful. We've heard of the God that's the true God. We've heard of the God that is higher than any other gods. We read in the book of Moses how that all other gods are works of men. We've seen all of these things in the law because it was not far right from Judges. So, you know, all these other gods, they are gods that are of the works of men. We've heard of the gods that are of the works of men. And we've heard that there is a God that is the true God. There is a God that is the true God. There is a ministry that represents God. There is a call that represents God. But you see, we don't know whether we're going to have the refreshments of life when we choose this God that is higher than any other God. We can't tell what our lives will become if we make convictions. We have convicted hearts as to follow Him. We don't know what is really ahead as to whether we're going to marry somebody again like Marlon and Chilion. We cannot know. We do not know. So, Orpah has returned back to her people and unto her smaller gods. You know, there's some people who are going to choose finances over God. Choose a good job over serving the Lord and in the ministry and being in the ministry. They're going to choose. They're going to willfully. It's willing. The moment you say, oh, this is the we'll pay you. Is it or not? We are leaving God. We are leaving God. And she said, behold, it means, look at this thing. Your sister-in-law is gone back to her people and unto her gods. Return thou after your sister-in-law. It means that go back into that land where there is not the God of Israel. Go back into the world where there is not the God of Israel. Forget the whole desire to have you be in the ministry. Forsake it. Don't worry. It's nothing. You just wrap up your birthright. Just sell it for a pot of soup. Just the ministry. Forget about it. Forget about it. It's about refreshment of life we're talking about here. It's about another, you know, man in the similitude of Million or Marlon and Chilion. Forget about it. And she said, your sister has returned back unto her people and unto her gods. Now, anything that becomes a reason why you cannot be in the ministry and you cannot serve God and you cannot be found in God's plan has become a god to you, and you have returned back to gods, and they are idols of people's hearts. They are idols of men's hearts. They are idols of men's hearts. Oh, so Orpah is gone. Some of you idols is just when you see a good bag and a good shoe. Somebody who can buy you a good bag and a good shoe. You are already like Orpah. Going back onto her people and onto her gods. You're going back like Orpah. From where God has called you from is where you go back into. Where are you going, Orpah? What is taking you away, Orpah? What are your heart's earnest cravings and desires, Orpah? Orpah, why are you turning back on God's plan? Why are you choosing money over God's plan? Why are you choosing a relationship over God's plan? Can't you see that the land that you're on is a land that is meant to be destitute and desolate? Verse 16. And Ruth said, Entreat me. Entreat me. You know, and this makes me understand also that Naomi, you see, Naomi loved both of them genuinely. And Naomi wanted them well, to be refreshed, to have children, have husbands, have money, have cars, choose a visa over that, choose an opportunity over that. You see, it was genuinely. But one of the things Naomi didn't want was that she didn't want a fair weather friend either. So you just go. Then she said, entreat me not to leave thee, or return from following after thee. Don't let me step out of it. But this time, Oprah had gone. Oprah had left. We can't do this. It can't just be about ministry. It can't just be about being relevant with God. So Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. Then she said, for whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. You see, thy people shall be my people. So Ruth has made a transition of saying that I'm not going to be with the people that I'm used to. I'm not going to be the people. Remember, the reason for Orpah's leaving is because there's sort of some refreshment. Now Ruth says to Orpah, I would not go. Entreat me not to go. Please drop verse 15 and verse 16. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. So this was just more than a decision to be loyal. More than a decision to just be loyal. Thy people shall be my people. The God you serve is going to be the God I serve. So Ruth was willing to forsake the Moabite gods she grew up with, and then she was choosing to embrace the God of Israel. She was deciding to follow the Lord. Oh, the Gentile woman who was of a Moabite land, once far away from God, had drawn near to him. Now, it will shock you to know. This is how, I mean, I'll end it, but I'll just say it passingly. Ruth happens to be the great-grandmother of David, eventually connected to the lineage of the Christ who happens to be Jesus. So, God rewards her by giving her a new husband, which we'll see, better than Orpah, and a privileged position in the lineage of David, which is the Christ. You see, so she chooses, and she says, your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people. She was deciding to follow the Lord. She didn't know how that she was going to survive. She had no idea how things were going. She just knew that whether I was in UK, whether I was in Somalia, whether I was in Burundi, whether I was in UK, US, I was going to serve the Lord. I was going to serve the Lord. My life is going to serve the Lord. I'm going to make disciples. I'm going to teach. I'm going to be found evangelizing. Now that's quite extendedly. But now let me even narrow it, because we are here as a ministry. We are here as a ministry. We are not here as a group of people who just jump in from any other place. We are here as a ministry. So we have a vision. And that vision can be communicated in the same context. So narrowing it down, we say, Pastor, we're going to serve the Lord with you. Because remember, Ruth is not saying that I'm going to go back to the land where I came from, and I'm going to know the God we have. I'm going to know the God we have. So I'll serve the Lord, your God, in another land. He's saying, no, wherever you go, we're going to go. Wherever you lodge, we're just going to be there. We're going to be happy. We're going to lodge there. Now, this is not just loyalty to Ruth, but it's loyalty to God. Because Ruth was a representation. I mean, this is not a loyalty to Orpah. I mean, to Naomi. But Naomi is a representation of God. It's not just a representation of, I'll be loyal to you, Naomi. No, Naomi, you are loyal to Naomi because there is God. And she has the God of Israel in that land. You're going with her because there is God in that land. Though you are a Gentile, your father doesn't serve the Lord. He doesn't care about serving the Lord. Your mother doesn't serve the Lord. She doesn't care about serving the Lord. Though you are coming from such a family, but then you are coming from such an environment, but then you meet somebody who is Naomi, who you know very well that the God of Israel is the true God. Then you say, I am going to be with you. The people that you serve shall be my people. The God that you serve shall be my God. Oh. Your God. My God. Your people. My people. Your God, my God. Oh. Your God. My God. Your people. My people. You see, this can become very One time I was speaking to someone, and the person sent me a message. I just don't want to maybe call out really the person's name. So I wondered, I was like, why is this person sending me this message? So I wanted to ask them that, is there anything you want me to do for you? It was very good news. So he was sending it to me, and I asked him, is there anything you think I should do for you, or I should do in this case? Because I didn't know why. It was very good. Then he said something. He said, Pastor, you are now part of my family. Now, he didn't know what that meant to me, but it's the same here. Your people, they have now become my people. You see, we are now together. It's not like we are a distant person. Yeah, you are now part of me. You see, you are now a part of me. And I said, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know I was part of you. But that was the same thing Ruth was saying. Your God, you are now part of me. You are now part of me. Yes, you are now part of me. Wherever you go, we are together. We don't find it. We are just serving God. Because that God we are following is going to be Agnes. It's going to be my God too. Now, you know the funny thing? She said again, wherever you stay, I'll stay. Wherever thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me. And more also, if aught but death do thee and me. It means, in choosing to serve this God, we have a connection. And that connection is forever. It's not just for secondary school. Some of you met people. I'm sure some of the Presecans are here. You met Precious. You met Irene. Are you going to be able to say that, my Precious, your God is my God? It's not just SS. It's not just SS. We didn't just meet you at SS. Your God is going to be my God. We're going to be with you. We're going to serve God with you. We're going to be around you. Yes. So your God is my God. Yes. We're not distant. Now, Ruth had little knowledge of this true God of Israel. Actually, she had little knowledge. She was in the land of Moab, the country of Moab. Elimelech, together with Naomi, actually moves into that land. They get wives for their sons, who happens to be Mahlon and Chilion. She didn't even know so much. But she knew that he was a God that was the true God. I'm sure she had heard of how that she had fought for the people of Israel, and how that he was mighty in his deeds, and probably they had heard of his wonderful works. So he could be called upon to hold Ruth accountable to the promise. He could be called upon. That God, we don't really know, but we've heard of the great things that he's done. He could be trusted. So, in verse 18, now when she saw that she was steadfastly minded, you see, that's what I'm saying, that as soldiers that we are raising, you see, your pastor might be like Naomi also. It's true. Your pastor might be like Naomi. He might say, if I should say no to this job that you are going for. Maybe one day you say that, pastor says I shouldn't be poor. Pastor is the reason why I didn't, I am now poor. So, you see, Naomi didn't want them to follow her. Not because she wanted bad for them. You see, she wanted them good. But that good actually was not God's good. But you have to, like Ruth, say, my mind is steadfast to go with you. Yeah. That was Ruth's mind. Like some people, you have to maybe give them room. You say, okay, just do something. You see, but there are others who say that, no, my mind is steadfast. We are going together. And we're going together. So, when Naomi now saw that Ruth was steadfast to go with her, to see God, to follow God, to serve God in the ministry, to she now said, she stopped speaking to her. She said, she stopped having things like, you know, let's consider this also, because we are not really sure if you are that steadfastly minded. So, when she saw that Ruth had said that, see, this thing, steadfast, no shaking, steadfast, no fear, no, steadfast. Ruth stopped talking. I mean, Naomi stopped talking. She said, no, let's stop the talking. Now, let's stop the talking means that now let's have you experience God's plan for you. Because there's no fear. Let's have you. So that's when we say, hey, that's when you hear the pastor say, come home. And maybe there's 10-hour prayer going on. Say, come inside. We are praying 10 hours, 12 hours. We're praying the whole day, 24 hours. Come. Because now they say, no, now we have made up our minds that we are steadfast. There's no way we are going. There's nothing. There's no explanations. We are not too careful with you. It's like we are trying to be saying, no, let's not let this person pray too much. Because if the person prays too much, the next time they see us, they'll be looking at us in a certain way. No, now the mind is strong. Let's stop the talking. Let's have the real training. 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 Let's go. Let's have the real training. So Ruth was not, Naomi was not, she just had this heart for both of them. But Orpah fell for it. But Orpah, you knew that you were going back to gods, smaller gods. You were going back to your old life. You were going back to things that looked very natural. They looked very nice, but they were not it. But Ruth decided to stay. So verse 19, gangang, something is happening. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. They were happy because Bethlehem was a small town. And anybody that left Bethlehem, they got to know that, oh, this person has traveled though, to Moab. You see, there was a small town. So when she came back, everybody had known that, oh, now Naomi, who had left us, had come back to Bethlehem. Right? Then she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Because she said that her name is Pleasantness. Don't call me Pleasantness. You see, Elimelech did me wrong. I'm not saying that she's saying that, but I'm trying to teach you something. Elimelech did me wrong. He went to sojourn a land, and that land is what has made me destitute. We came back with nothing. Oh, in a land we don't a lot of pagan gods. A land. Pagan gods are too many. None of you will cultivate from these lands in Jesus' name. Yeah. Would you rather choose a husband that says that you can't be doing this, God, let's relax. Focus on life. That is what is important. Let's have this. Yes, because it can happen. Yes, it can happen. It can happen. The ladies, it can happen. But I pray it does not happen. He leads you into a land. Now remember, he sojourned the land. The land was good. They were running from the same Bethlehem, Judah, into the country of Moab. He went there. He went to look around. He saw that this land was good. And he moved you into the land. He moved you into the land because the land was good. Now, he lost himself, lost Mahlon and Chilion. And he's in that land. Thank God he didn't lose you. You didn't lose yourself. But he was lost. Your children were lost. It means they didn't know God. They didn't take God seriously. That's what it means. To die is not, the death there is not physical death. It just means you are non-existent in God's plan. Now you see, the last time we hear of Orpah again was when she left. That was when she left. We don't hear of Orpah again. Orpah is cancelled. God has forgotten her. But listen to what happened to Ruth. She's given a genealogy. She's given the privilege of being in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the great grandmother of David. What a privilege. What a privilege. You see, what God actually esteems and what God actually, you know, celebrates, it's not what man celebrates. It's not what man celebrates. So Ruth is giving an eternal heritage. In fact, the reasons why we are studying this Bible, this book of Ruth, is because she played a very key role in what God wanted to do. Now imagine if Ruth had made up her mind that she was going to move out into the land when Naomi was telling her to go. She's not going to be here. Listen to me. I want you to be content with God and His plan. See, be content with it. Be content with it. So Orpah is taken out of God's plan. We don't hear of Orpah again. The only time we hear of her is that she's crying. She's saying that I will not go. But she left. She saw that, no, here I will not get husband. I will not get husband. I will not get husband. I won't get husband. I can't marry. Where are we going? You say, well, Bethlehem, Judah. There's no husband. So let me go and find a husband because I've lost my husband. Where are the husbands? Then she's out. But Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her. Remember, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Then Naomi is, you know, now going back to Bethlehem, Judah, saying, don't call me pleasantness, call me Mara, because I'm bitter. So I went out full. You see? You see? You see? Verse 21, I went out full. I went out full. Elimelech, I was with you. We were there in Bethlehem, Judah. We went out full. It means we went out knowing God. We went out full of God. We went out. I went out with Elimelech. I went out with other crops. I went out with other bands. I went out with other, you know, wine. I went out with water. I went out with this. I went out with all of those pleasant things to my soul. My soul was peaceful. Oh, my soul was peaceful. I mean, I was full of joy. In church, they would say, rejoice. We were rejoicing. Now you have come to take me out. I'm now finding myself in a place where I am empty. There is nothing. Seeing the Lord had testified against me and the Almighty had afflicted me. Wasn't the Lord just where you found yourself? So Naomi returned and Ruth, you know, the Moabites. You see, God actually saw the heart of Ruth. And she crowned her with something that we are going to forever talk about. In fact, when we get to heaven, we'll still be talking about it. Because you can't say Jesus. You know, and you don't count down to all those who had their relations with Jesus. So Naomi returned and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Oh, they came in a good time. So this is what is happening. Showing you a background story of chapter 1. I said, the highest will go is chapter 2. Maybe I'll continue some other time. So in the whole of chapter 1, God is showing us that He has a plan, number 1. And He needs men to partner in having his plan come to fulfillment. Number two, how that Elimelech had stepped out of the land of Bethlehem Judah into a land that was foreign, losing everything. Now, losing everything does not mean you will not have money. It means you might have money, but you don't have anything. With God, you are not relevant. You don't have a ministry. You don't have a life. You don't have joy. Or maybe you have happiness, but you don't have joy. Because happiness is as a result of things. Joy is as a result of you being in God's plan and fulfilling God's will for your life. Right? Yes. So in chapter 2, we move forward. And Naomi had a kinsman of a husband, a mighty man of wealth. You see, Ruth did not know. You see, Ruth's heart was very good that, this God is going to be my God. The people you are related to, they are going to be my people. Then after trying to speak to Ruth and telling Ruth, I don't have any son, leave me. Ruth says, I'm steadfast. My mind is steadfastly minded. I'm going with you. And so they leave. Chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of a husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. You see, Orpah is running away because she's thinking that she will have a husband when she leaves. Now, chapter 2, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Hey, the thing you thought you were losing is what you're actually gaining. And this time, you actually gain in, oh my God, you gain more than you naturally would have gained. The thing you thought you would never get is the thing you are actually about to get. So what you give to God, you never lose. You never lose. So, and Naomi, a king's man of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. But we see that Naomi did not have any family. But back in Bethlehem, Judah, there was a man called Boaz, a man of wealth, and his name was Boaz. Verse 2. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. You see, she left a land. Thinking she was going to not get anything. Following God is not the only thing. The upper jackpot. Ruth decides to patiently stay. She's patient with God. She's patient with his plan. She believed that the real blessing of God was to stay and to choose the God of the Israelites. You know, I just want to encourage you. What you give to God and what you lay in his hands, you never lose. I said you never lose. I said you never lose. When you choose God, there's nothing to lose. You never lose. So Naomi was related to Boaz, you know, through her deceased husband who happened to be Elimelech. you see. And you see that 10 years before, Naomi and her family made a choice. And it was a choice made in a hard time because there was sort of like a famine in Bethlehem. And then the whole family had left the promised land and went into Moab. Did you see that Boaz stayed behind? Uh-huh. And God provided for him. Do you see that? Uh-huh. This is that Boaz stayed behind. Boaz didn't leave tomorrow, but God provided for him. In fact, God made Boaz a great man of wealth. Uh-huh. But why is it that Elimelech could not stay in Bethlehem, Judah? But you decided to go. But Boaz stayed there. Now, do you also see that the people who had stayed in Bethlehem, Judah, they were still there. The people of Bethlehem did not perish from hunger. They were still there. They were blessed more than Naomi's family. Yes, it's true. Yes. So, you are saying, then you go upper, or Elimelech. Then there is Boaz. He's staying. Everything is fine. The people, they also stay, because when they came back, they were saying, "Wow, Naomi, you are welcome. Oh, hey, you are pleasant. You are pleasant. Oh, hey." And she said, "Please don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. Because I've come back with nothing." So you see, sometimes we justify wrong choices because of difficult circumstances. But you see, God's willing to strengthen you as you choose Him and as you make the right choice, even in difficult circumstances. Now, in fact, the exact expression rendered a mighty man of wealth, okay, is exactly translated a mighty man of valor. The exact a mighty man of valor, a man that chooses God and His will, a woman that chooses God and His will. Wow. Then, Ruth is saying, in verse 2, "Let me go now to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter, please let me go." Please let me go. She was diligent, even when she decided to follow God's plan. She was not little. Ruth, what time is it? 10 a.m. What are you doing? I'm sleeping. Ruth, even though you choose God's plan, you're going to be diligent. Nobody's going to get up and go into the farm and then glean heads of grain for you. You have to do that. She was a hard-working, spirited fellow. She was a hard-working, spirited follower. She was going to go out and glean out some corn. Get her hands doing something. So, you know, as we follow God's plan, we're going to inculcate this in our lives. We're going to be gleaners and reapers of corn. hard work. There's going to be a diligence to our lives. Not sleeping, a diligence. A diligence to our lives. When you're in school, as you choose the Lord, and as you choose to follow the God of Israel, and as you choose to follow the things that He's told you to do, you're going to add on some diligence. You're going to be found waking up early in the morning and saying that I'm going to glean. I'm going to glean the field. In the ministry, as you choose the ministry, don't be lazy about it. Because to be lazy about it is not to go about it rightly. You see, we can't have the numbers as we want them to if we don't work, if we don't glean, if we're not found on the fields. Glean. Yes. So she's out there and she's doing something. Now, you see, as we stick to God, number one, we choose God's plan, we choose God's will for our lives, number one. And then number two, there's a sense of diligence. Listen to what happens. Listen to what happens. Verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her harp was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. There's God in our steps. There's God in our steps. People of God, there's God in our steps. She went out. She didn't even know she was going into the land of Elimelech. I mean, the land of the relation of Boaz, the kindred of Elimelech. She didn't know. She just said that, I've chosen God. I don't know how I'm going to marry. I don't know how I'm going to have money. I don't know how I'm going to accomplish it. But as for God, I've chosen Him. I've chosen the people of God. Now, number two, I'm going to stay diligent at following God and making sure that things are done rightly in my life. So, yes, I'm going to pray, but I'm also going to glean. Yes, I'm going to pray. Yes, I'm going to, tarry in the fields. I'm going to be found on the harvests. I'm going to be found doing something. Then as she gleaned in the field, she chose God, she chose to be diligent, as she gleaned in the field, she happened to slip off into a part of the field belonging to the man called Boaz. You see, sometimes as we follow the Lord, as we choose to keep at it, you see, He orders our steps. While we are gleaning, we're going to slip off into a man's land that happens to be Boaz. We didn't go out thinking that we're going to look for a rich man, or we're going to look for somebody who is good. But as we glean the field, as we move in the field, as we tarry in the field, as we, help in the harvest of the field. Oh, our steps are going to be ordered into a field belonging to a man called Boaz. You see, I wanted to tell everyone listening to me, the men, the women, don't worry about for example, relationships. You know, the purpose of God is first for you to find purpose in Him. The purpose of God is for you to first find purpose in Him. Just like Adam, He creates him, puts him in a garden, gives him a responsibility. And while he goes around that responsibility, he says it is not good for man to be alone. Let me find him a helper who will help him in the gleaning of the fields, in the taking care of the animals. Let's find somebody who will get along in the fulfillment of what I've called him to do. sow, you're going to glean diligently. You're going to choose God. Then he orders your steps into the field of Boaz. Don't worry about. Just do what I'm telling you. I mean, do what God's word is telling us. Don't worry about how you said you're going to make a lot of money. Don't let money be the reason why it pushes you out of God's will. No. As you choose him, number one. As you stay diligent at it, number two. And as you glean the field, you're going to slip off into the land of Boaz. We don't all know how she slipped off into the land. We can't tell. She happened to come to that place. And it was very certain. Now, it was true because God was guiding her. How do we know God was guiding her? From the very onset, she chose God. That was God's guidance. The very onset, she says, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. That was the time God was guiding her. So, Ruth came to that field because God was guiding her. Some of you are entering into the ministry, and all of you in Jesus' name are entering into the ministry because God is guiding you. I'm telling you that decision of your heart that says, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. Wherever you go, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. It's the same thing. It's God leading you. So it shows us how powerful the invisible hand of God works for men who trust him. She experienced a very natural moving of the supernatural hand of God. It was natural. It looked like, Charlie, we there inside the ministry. That's what we are doing. Then a diligence. Not worrying about husband in quotes, riches in quotes, visa in quotes, wife in quotes. Some of the men are worried about wives, I should think. Like, who am I going to marry as a woman? Don't worry. Some of the wives are worried about husbands. So, who are we going to marry? So, you get to realize, if you are still living in the university, we shouldn't even be having these conversations with you. By now, you should have been reading your book. But this story has nothing to do with actually husband and wife. It has everything to do with God's plan. But just what I'm talking about right now is what I'm communicating with you. That you don't have a say in this matter. Level 200, 300, level 100, level 300 going into 400. What are you looking for? Some of you are even done with school. You are not even ready for relationships. Talk less husband. We are actually talking about God's plan in this place. It's just that, you know, the stories depict a certain kind of a marriage or something. But it has nothing. Some of the guys, you can't marry yet. Because you are not ready. So we are talking about ministry. It's ministry I want you to see. Some of you are ready for marriage. That's good. We don't have a problem. Or you want to marry. That's not bad at all. But we are not. It's not exactly. I'm talking about God's plan for you. Right. So, she gleans. Now listen to what happened. And behold, verse 4. Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, Ish, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. You see, she's come back from a land where God is absent, where she's not too sure whether she'll get married or not, where she's not too sure whether she'll get money or not, where she's not too sure. You are not sure about saying that I'm going to follow God. You are not really sure. If you say that you are going to follow God, what's your surety? But you see, you're going to be full of faith, believing God just like she did God. Ruth believed God. She followed Naomi. And she said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and had continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Wow. Then Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. So she had that diligence. Diligence in God's plan. The men, you ought to be diligent in following God. Diligent at work, diligent concerning spiritual things. There's a diligence that's needed. Be diligent. Keep at it. So, don't glean. She said, I'll glean. She continued from morning. She was under inspection. The supervisors were looking at the kind of job she did. And, you know, they were impressed by that she did a good job. And the fact that she did a good job was important because it made a good impression to Boaz. I see you making a difference where you find yourself. So, Boaz is saying, hey, my daughter, don't glean in another man's field. You see, she glean, different fields. Then she slips off into the real thing. Then she now is there and she's gleaning. And no, don't glean in another man's field again. Don't glean in another man's field. Glean in my field. Stay close to my young women. These were Boaz's female workers who tied together the cut stacks of grain. So Boaz told her to stay close to them. She would be well taken care of. Don't go to the people. Do not glean in another man's field. God was blessing Ruth already. God is blessing you already. Because you have chosen that you will serve him in the ministry. God is blessing you. That is the blessing. God is blessing you already. He's causing a certain kind of a Boaz to look at you and say that, don't glean in another man's field. Glean in my field. Glean in my field. Be found close to my young women. You'll be taken care of. He had guided her to Boaz's field. I see God guiding you to fields of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Fields of fruitfulness. Don't be afraid to say that you serve God with the ministry. Don't be afraid. You see, now let me tell you the greatest blessing of the ministry. The greatest blessing of the ministry is not wealth, number one. That's not what I'm talking about exactly. I'm talking about the fact that we will just be found doing what God wants us to do. Period. That's the greatest blessing of the ministry. Yeah, it's just that you'll be found doing what God is calling you to do. That's the blessing of the ministry. So, stay close to my young women. Some of the women, you are very lazy. And the men too, you are very lazy. We don't want lazy people. You cannot be lazy and then fulfill God's plan for your life. A lazy man sleeps always. A lazy man cannot pray. A lazy man cannot study. A lazy man cannot get up and go to class. A lazy man cannot work. A lazy man cannot even, you see, he can't even flow in the gifts of the Spirit. We take it as a professor, as a pastor, nothing is coming. You are lazy. You just don't want to look into it and see what God is saying. You are lazy. But Ruth wasn't lazy. Ruth wasn't lazy. Ruth wasn't lazy. Stop having a lot of excuses. Yeah, Everyone who has bones. Everybody has bones. Our bones. Everybody has bones. Stop. I can't do this. You are not the only one. So Ruth is told, hey, listen, my daughter, don't go. You know, Ruth has a sugar daddy. Ruth has a sugar daddy. So, you know, my daughter. Yes. You never know. Maybe that's what she even wanted. Because this God, you can't really tell. You can't really tell. That's just, by the way, it's not in the story. But my daughter, listen, don't go and glean in another man's field. Who is saying daddy? Don't go and glean in another man's field. Stay in my field. Be close to the young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap. And go after them. Have I not commanded the young men? Hey, don't touch this lady. Don't touch this lady. Don't touch her. God will be giving his commands to angels concerning your life. So that watch over him. Ensure that he's protected. Ensure that he's kept. Don't do anything that will hurt him and that will harm him. And he says, when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. It means now you are not a drawer of water. There's some sort of succor that's coming to you. Now, pay attention to this. We're about closing. Pay attention to this. In Boaz's field, Ruth will find true companionship. What about Opa? Now, those companionships actually were people from the land of Bethlehem, Judah. It means they both had the same religious persuasions. Oh. Ruth herself had found Boaz of the same persuasion. She had found sisters, because she was now amongst the young women, sisters she can call sisters in Christ, sisters of the same faith, sisters of the same order, sisters of the same pastor, because Naomi is like the pastor, so sisters of the same pastor, they have the same beliefs. They have the same persuasions. They have the same convictions. She has found sisters. The same, you know, word. The same teaching. In Boaz's field, she found protection. So number one, she found companionship. The guys, you will find companionship in God's plan, real brotherhood in God's plan. You see, today they say the world is like this, and you don't know anybody, no bro day for your side, you do nobody day for you. No, in the church, in the ministry, we have people who be there for you, people who stick to you, people who help you, people who pray for you, people who counsel you, people who will stand with you in tough times. Yes. The world is slippery, but not in the church. You find some men of God say, when you come to church, the church is slippery. Not in this church. This church, we have people who love the Lord, people who be genuine. They are concerned about you genuinely. So, Ruth is finding companionship. In Boaz's field, Ruth is finding protection. There are young men, don't touch. Don't touch. You see, some of you don't know that in Christ's family and in this place, you have found protections from young men outside. Yes. But now two people would have slept with you. The first one would have been a mistake. Like you didn't know it to happen. The second one was a repeated mistake because it bit you twice because you were not really sure that this was happening. So two. Psalm 3, Psalm 4. Yes. You find protection. Your pastor is saying that before you get to know anybody, talk to him about it. Listen to me. We are not saying get to like them and get to talk to them and get to explain things and get to know. No. Before any conversation happens, you see that, oh, this is it. So, no, pastor, we've started talking. So that if there's a further thing we have to say, we'll say, no, stop the talking or continue the talking. Either of the ways is still the same. Yes. The guys be like Ruth. Say, pastor, we're there inside. We are here. We are not going anywhere. Your people, our people, our God, your God, our God. It's not that you just see a girl and then the girl, you say you love the girl too much. The girl doesn't really love God. She's not in the ministry. She has nothing to do with ministry. But she's a chick. That be my chick. Say, no, me, I did love God. But she says she know the love then things, then God things. She says she know the love, then God things. So me, I did come church, so say she should go do then things on. But yeah, we do then things on. Hey, Ruth, you're in trouble. Oh. So me, I did love. I did love bad girls. I know they love church girls. Me then church girls then they worry too much every day. Prayer. Hey, she they speak in tongues. So hey, Charlie, you hear the check like she they. Oh. Oh. Hey. You say, Charlie, that'll be fine, but she not be then church. Pastor, she's not really a church person, but my heart seems to gravitate, you know, seems to. You are like Oppa. You are just like Oppa. You are just like Oppa. I thought as much. You are just like Oppa. Just like Oppa. So in Boaz's field, there's protection. There's protection from ravening wolves. Hey, I've met people that don't like to see this. They've had mistakes of sleeping with wrong boys for like 3 or 4 times. It all were mistakes. Yeah. Mistakes. Mistakes. Yeah, mistakes. They didn't mean it. They didn't mean to. In Boaz's field, Ruth will find protection. See, let me tell you something. There are ladies that look like they are going to help you. Yes, they look like it. Yes, they look like they are going to help you. But the protection is that you'll be counseled that this one is not going to help you really. Yeah. There are people who look like they will help you. They would really not help you. And there are also men who look like they will help you. They will really not help you. So in Boaz's field, where you choose God, is where you can see. It's where you make a better choice so that you can serve God. In Boaz's field, you will find refreshment when you are thirsty. You see, there are times of tests. There are times of test. There are times of test. Now, the truth of the matter is that in these times where Boaz started to show Ruth a certain kind of a kindness, there was no romantic attraction. There was no like, Charlie, that's a very nice lady. There was nothing like that. She just saw from afar, who is that? Who's gleaning? So, there's this woman, she's a Moabitess, she comes from this, blah, blah, blah. And she's been gleaning from one. Oh, I pray you just glean in my field. Stay close to the woman. Do not glean in another man's field. When you are thirsty, they will give you water to drink. And hey, all of you guys, none of you should touch her. So the kindness of Boaz was wonderful. Now, even if she was pretty, she would have definitely been pretty from a period of working very hard. And that's quite unpretty. A whole day's work. Even if she was pretty, she was probably working so hard. So she has sweat and everything. Oh. So Ruth is going to do something that I'm going to talk about. And then we are going to continue the story. Ruth, verse 10. She fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing that I'm a stranger? You see, God's going to cause men to be gracious to you as you follow out on his will and on his plan for your life. There's going to be a graciousness of men towards you, of God himself towards you. Now, primarily, the graciousness of God, actually, the real foundational graciousness of God is that he inspired your heart to choose the ministry. That's the foundational graciousness, because without it, you will not be here. But in that quest, you see that, you wait and see, you see it. Just a little more years, you see it. You see how people be prosperous in this ministry. You think, maybe something is happening in a certain way. You see it. People will have money in this ministry. A lot of money. And when you see them, you will never assume that they have money. But they have money. A lot of money. And they'll be there quietly, discipling others, praying for others, doing this, doing that, doing that. Yes. So there's going to be a graciousness. And I told you, that's one of the blessedness of this ministry you are seeing today. Is that we're not going to be so much about money, but you see how people are going to be blessed. Yeah, you see how people are going to be blessed. Yeah. Opportunities you never dreamt of in your life, it will come into your hands. You never thought you would have those opportunities. You see it with you. Yeah. You never in your life thought that it will happen in the way it happened, but it will still be happening. Because you chose God. So Naomi has bowed down and said, why are you gracious like this to me? Why? I'm a stranger. Oh. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shewed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and hath come unto a people which thou knowest not. So in short, the Lord has chosen to be gracious through Boaz because she turned away from every other thing to stick to his plan. I see the Lord being gracious to you in a very supernatural way. But don't forget what I'm saying. The foundation of his graciousness is that he had laid it on your heart to choose the ministry. To choose the ministry. See, Christ family, let's stay together. Let's stick to the plan. Let's have God on our eyes. Let's keep him right on in. Let's serve him. Let him be all that matters to us. Let us live for Him. Let us live for Him. Let's choose God over anything, over any sense of comfort, over anything natural. I see you choosing God. 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 And this is what Boaz said unto her: the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Thou art come to trust. She trusted the Lord. She trusted the Lord. She trusted the Lord. She said, I'll follow you in the ministry. I'll serve God. I'll choose the way of God. I'll choose the way of God. The Lord recompense thy work, and thy full reward be given unto thee. And so this evening I pray that as you make a chance, as you make a plan to choose God's will, to choose God's plan, the Lord recompense thee. 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 In the name of Jesus. The Lord recompense thee. And a full reward be given unto thee of the Lord of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in God, for he shall not be ashamed. Blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord. Blessed is that man. And so you're going to stay connected, loyal, giving to the Lord and His vision. And it's just not to the Lord and His vision, and it's to the vision of His man. You're going to stay at it. You're going to keep 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 at it. The word of God that comes here this evening strengthens you in choosing to follow God. And the more you get to know Him, the more you will get to even love Him more. And He will give you a recompense reward. He will give you a reward of choosing to follow Him. A reward that is eternal. Much more of the natural things. A reward of being related to Christ Jesus and His mission on the earth. Such that we will be able to say, or will be able to say, that this is Ruth, the great grandmother of David, who is related to the Christ, the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. You are choosing God, and God is fully helping you in the name of Jesus. This evening, you make a firm foundational conviction. A foundational conviction. It should be at the core. We're going to choose God and His plan. We're going to choose the Lord and what He's asking us to do. More of Him is what we're going to desire. Like Ruth, we're following Naomi to a land that we do not know. Activities that we're not really sure about. But we know that the God of the people of Israel is the God of all gods. The Lord is helping you to make a firm decision. In the name of Jesus. You make firm decisions. Nothing will take you away. You say, Pastor, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where thou goest, we will go. Where thou lodgest, we will lodge. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Loyal to the end. The men loyal to the end. The women loyal to the end. Not saying that, you know, because this is not happening or this is about to happen, then we have to review it. No, there's no reviewing. The Lord grants you strength. The Lord grants you favor. The Lord grants His grace mighty upon you in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your word this evening. I thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for uttering steps like Ruth, slipping on into many fields and gleaning into the field of Boaz. Thank you for times that you have chosen us to fulfill and to do your will. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for strengthening the hearts. Strengthen the hearts. Don't be afraid. It looks like you are not going to get something. It looks like your life is going to be destroyed. It looks like your life is going to end. It looks like something is not going to happen. It looks like it, but I'm telling you, there is a Boaz in God's plan, rich and wealthy, according to God's purpose. That's God's plan. You thought you won't get the job? Get ready for a better job. Now, like Ruth, you will say, even if I don't have another, I will be fine. Just have the heart. God has a way of meeting you when you have the heart. Yes, God has a way of meeting you when you have the heart. Nothing else will matter. In the name of Jesus. Just have the heart. In Jesus' name. As this word comes to an end, God is helping you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what is in it. No, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm telling you. Don't be afraid. 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 You have to make a choice. See, it starts with making a choice. It starts with making a choice. It starts with making a choice. That choice has to be made. It starts with making a choice. That Naomi, we're not leaving. We are going to be here. Naomi said, no, go. No, go. You have to do that. I think it's time for you to do that. No. No. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God, period. A steadfast mind to the plan of God. And that is when the Lord will look upon you with graciousness. Father, thank you for what you are doing in our midst. We give you all the glory. Now every spirit of confusion and doubt is cursed in Jesus' name. Every spirit of fear is cursed in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of how will it happen is cursed in the name of Jesus. Listen, Ruth didn't have any opportunity. There was no opportunity of getting married again. There was nothing like that because Mahlon and Chilion were gone. But she said, your people will be my people. And you see, just as she said, Elimelech, who happened to be related to Boaz in a way, became the people that she said, your people will be my people. Your people will be my people. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Though I don't really know what is involved in this God thing. I'm a Gentile. I don't understand. But I believe that your God is going to be my God. So God is strengthening your heart. Strengthening the cords of your heart. Strengthening the cords of your heart. Don't be afraid. Don't say that. I want this. No. Just do it the way God wants you to do it. The way He's taught you by your pastor. Just do it like that. Be strong. Be strong. You see, there are going to be pressures that will come. The pressure will come. Don't be confused. The pressure will come. The pressure will come. Yeah, the pressure will come. The pressure will come. And it comes to Orpah, it still comes to Ruth. It comes to all. But Orpah that cannot stand the pressure. She can't stand it. So she leaves. Now we don't hear about Orpah again. It means she's out of the ministry. We can't hear. We don't know where she is. We don't know what she is. We don't know where she is. We can't even tell what she's doing. The pressure will come. But you have to be able to stand the pressure. And say that no, we are still choosing this. That's when the pressure comes. The pressure comes. But God is going to give you the grace, tenacity, to be able to stand in pressure. And how you do that is to keep your focus on Him. Keep your focus on Him. Don't keep it on many other things. Keep your focus on Him.
Where is it all about you? It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. Oh, it's all about you, Jesus.
So they're going to be precious. You have to keep your eyes on Him. Keep it on Him. Keep it on Him. Don't be moved by the precious that come in. They can be precious. But be firm. Be strong. Your people are my people. Your God, my God. The people of Israel I've chosen. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and praise God in this place. Go ahead and praise God. 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 As a pastor, you know, you should be able to convince me enough. The pastor and steadfast. That's how I'll leave you. To say, no, let's follow this thing. Because me, I've already made up my mind. If it was not good, I'll not follow it. If it was not good, I'll not follow it. Yeah. If it was not good, I'll not follow it. If it was not good, I'll follow it. But you have to convince me that, no, I'm not afraid. We're not afraid. Pastor, they are saying this, but see, I'm not afraid. I'm very confident. Then I'll say, you know what? Do not be afraid. When you are saying that we have to do this, like we are trying to consider, no. It's the plan of God we're talking about. It means you're going to not stand there. You are going to complain. Like you are looking at me like I'm the reason why you are not leaving the country. Or I'm the reason why you are not serving God. I'm the reason why you are not married. I'm the reason why you are not going into a relationship. I'm the reason. So when you look at me, I'm saying, okay, you know what? Upper, please, just go. My roots will say, no, we have a steadfast mind. It's not, we are not confused about what we are talking about. We're not confused. We are not confused. We are not confused. It's a steadfast mind. We are here. And you know what? I'll say, let's go to Bethlehem, Judah. Let's go to Bethlehem, Judah. Let's journey on in into Bethlehem, Judah. And there, there'll be something. Father, I thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name. We thank you for your grace. 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 Somebody came to me and said that. I said this and this and this. I just said no. And the person said, Pastor, you said no, that's it. No shaking, no fear, no that Pastor, we steadfast mind. And I know as a pastor that a lot of things are quite complicated. Yeah. Complicated. But it shouldn't be complicated for you because now I'm teaching you. It should not be complicated for you. It should not be complicated for you. It should not be complicated for you. It should not be complicated. Someone said, you know, they said I should do this. I said, no, don't do it. But I could say that because he is not complete. He might not be complicated. See that? Don't do it.
I spoke to one of you. Listen, you are listening to me right now. I said, leave that thing. So, oh, pastor, I said, leave. And he was still saying that, you know, she's picking up, doing that. I said, you know, don't do that thing. A few days back, he said, oh, I changed my mind. Because I saw this, I said, don't need to see something before you change your mind. Don't need to see something before you change your mind. Don't need to see anything before you change your mind. Some of you fall in love more than your pastor's instruction. So it's difficult for your pastor to say that. This Elimelech. Imagine if there was somebody before Elimelech telling Naomi that your Elimelech is taking you out somewhere. He's taking you out. You will not come back with anything. But do you know something? Mahlon and Chilion were actually maybe around 30, 40, 50 years. So they went for a long time. So we'll be in Bethlehem, Judah, and then we'll hear that, oh, Naomi has given birth to Mahlon and Chilion. She has given birth, and we are like, oh, there's still famine here. Oh, there's famine here. Because when they left, there was famine. There's still famine here. But you are not coming back with anything. Yeah, you are not coming back with anything. Yeah. You are coming back with nothing. No ministry. That's what you are coming back with. So imagine if somebody had told Naomi that this Elimelech man you are following, he's going to lead you somewhere. This job you are following that does not allow you to go to church is leading you somewhere. You are following an Elimelech, but you will not be able to say that. We don't want you to be rich. This transitioning of location you are doing, you are moving from this place, you are moving out, it's dangerous. Stay a while so that we'll see what we can do and pray about it and get to know what God is saying and be sure about you. Say, no, I have to. I have to. So there will be pressures. Yes, but you will make the final decision like Ruth, who will be steadfast about it. So we'll hear, oh, she has given birth to Mahlon and Chilion. But you know something? Let me tell you something. Before you go, Mahlon and Chilion, like I told you, they were called those names because they were sick. Right? Yeah. So she gives birth to Mahlon and Chilion, but they are not fine. It's like everything that comes from your loins is not God. It's not God inspired and God created. It's not God. It's not how God would have had it. You have money, but it's not how God would have had you have the money. If you slept with that man at your workplace who was trying to give you a promotion, it looks good, but what comes forth of it is not how God will have it do. It's not how God wants it to do. It's not how God would have planned it. It's not how God would have wanted you to be wealthy. It's not how God would have wanted you to be wealthy. I know of a guy, I've been praying for him. And I said, you know what? This dubious means of trying to get a visa you are doing. Two or three times. Now you are using South Africa. It's not the way it's going. You don't know what God is trying to preserve you for. It's not the right thing. But they will not listen. They say, oh, she doesn't want us to. But it's not that. You see, the heart of a pastor is to see that you are in the ministry. I don't know for other ministers. Maybe some other ministers have a desire to see that you go, you have money and all of that. That's all they pray for you about. I mean, that's not what I pray for you about. I pray that you will end in the ministry. That's all I want for you. That you end in the ministry. That's all. That's all. Even though our work has been useless, it's waste. things. That you end in the ministry. That when we see you are still involved in something. Yes, you'll be having other things, businesses, companies you are working in. You are making a lot of money. But the ministry is what is key. The ministry. The ministry is to serve God with your life. So Malo and Chilon has been giving birth. We'll hear all. This person has done this. Oh, they bought a new house. But you see, it's going to end in futility. It's going to end in futility. It's going to end in emptiness. You went full, but you're coming back empty. You went full, but you're coming back empty. But nobody is going to have that story in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Nobody. God is going to preserve you. Let me tell you something. When you speak to your pastor about it, you have a consensus with your disciples. Let me tell you. And then, maybe let's say you are in Nairobi, and we say that, come to Ghana, because Ghana is where you get a good church, and you serve God. Just come. Just come. Don't say that. You'll be amazed that your whole family will be turned around because of that decision. Because you serve God, and you have a man that serve God. You have children that serve God. You see, the world is becoming so perverse. Father, I thank you that your grace is mighty, and that which you are doing in their lives, you are giving them the grit to choose you. We will be in Bethlehem, Judah. We will be here. We will be here. We will not go anywhere because it seems to be difficult. We will be here. But in that same land, there's a prospering of Boaz. In that same land, there's a prospering of the people. In that same land, there's a preservation of their lives. I'm moving in. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, we've come to the end of teaching. Hopefully, I'm just seeing how it goes, whether I'll have a continuation. But I feel like I'll pause here. Then we'll have a few more further notes from the story of Ruth. Right, so for now, we'll hold on with this. And then we'll walk with this. Alright? Don't be afraid of anything. Like Naomi, turn your eyes. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. This God is dependable. Is dependable. I'm telling you, choose his plan, choose his will. He's dependable. Father, we give you all glory. In Jesus' name. We give you all the glory for what you're doing in our midst. Lord, all that you have given me, may I not lose. May I not lose. May I not lose. May I not lose. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so it's another wonderful evening. Trusting that you have been blessed. I just want you to know I love you. That's why I'm teaching you all of these. Yeah. Because, see, let me tell you something. I was speaking to my brothers. And my brothers are very smart children. Like, they are very smart. Extremely first, second, third. All they are in one of them is the best schools in Tamale. And they were telling me that, you know, one says he wants to be a surgeon. And another says he wants to be a something.
don't even know. And then, you know, my mother was on the call and they were all on the call. And they were asking me that, what should they consider? Yeah, I didn't hide it from them. My mother was there. I didn't say that. I said, you know what? You can become a surgeon or you can become a whatever you want to become. But me, I will advise you, let's all follow God and serve God. Let's become pastors and prophets. Yes, me, I don't hide it from anybody. It's not like my family is my family. Me, if I had, everybody around me would serve the Lord. Everybody around me. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to stand and say that I really desire somebody to be a neuro. All those things are good. We love them. We are happy about them. But aside all of those things is my genuine desire. Yeah. It's a holy thing. I'm telling you, it will just take a transition of life for you to know that what I'm talking to you about is very real and it's very true. It just takes you to slip to another part of your life to know that what I'm telling you. So I just told her, I said, see, I want you to become a neurosurgeon. Yes, because everybody's going to school. I want you to become whatever it is you want to become because everybody's going to be going to school. Learn hard. Do that. I check on their timetables and all. And I said, I do this, put that. And I said, no, but I want you to be pastors and prophets. Let's all be prophets. And my mother was saying, you are trying to convince them with because you choose to. I said, no, I really want it. God knows my heart. I don't want my sister to become a medical doctor or whatever, a nurse or anything. I said, I want you to sing for God. Yeah, I want God to give you songs. That's my heart desire. So I'm not desiring that for you because you are my congregation. No, I want you to be part of what God is doing. I want you to be part of what God is doing. That's what I'm pushing you. I want you to be part of what God is. That's what I'm trying to do. So all your siblings, that should be your main desire. Yes. Yes. Should be your. Me, I told all of them. Me, I like it, but I want you to be this: prophets and pastors, or prophets and teachers. Yes. I'm a prophet and teacher. Yes, I'm a prophet and teacher. To a greater extent, pastoral duties. But I'm a prophet and teacher. I want you to be like me. Be like, follow me. I told her, I said, follow me. Or don't follow all the nice things that you see all around. Follow me. Follow me. So I'm telling you, follow me. And let's serve God aside every natural thing that we are doing. Let's have God in the center of it. Let's have God in the center of it. Yeah, it will shock you how I think. Yeah, it'll shock you how I think. Yeah. I feel like it's a great thing for God to choose you to serve Him. It's a great thing. Yeah, it's a great thing. We thank you, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name, Amen.